Welcome to Resurrection Recovery, a ministry of hope and healing provided by Church of the Resurrection. This podcast is produced by Resurrection Recovery participants as a way to share their experience, strength, and hope as they move through the recovery journey. You can join us every Thursday night at 6 p.m. for a community meal and a personal story, and then support groups at 7 p.m. Check our website at core.org/recovery for special events, location, and a group that might fit your need.
Love you.
Love you, man.
Okay, how you doing? So I need to pray because my nerves, I've been thinking about this for weeks. I wish Tom would have asked me yesterday, and that way I couldn't think about it. But let me pray real quick. Dear God, we are so grateful for you and your Son and the Holy Spirit and everything that you provide in our lives. And we just ask that, and I ask that you settle my nerves and you help me to share honestly and openly. Help me to connect at least with one person here, God, and that your Holy Spirit descends on this place. So God, it's in your Holy Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I do have a little bit of a cheat sheet, just some notes so I can follow along. Otherwise, I think I'd be a little bit spacey. Like Tom said, I am on staff here. I'm behind the camera and I'm in front of an editor. So that's where I like to live. Up front and in front of all you all is not kind of my forte. So bear with me. Here's who I am. My name's Sandy. I'm a drug addict and an alcoholic. I've been clean and sober since June 5th of 1999, and for that I'm very grateful. But I still struggle with control. I struggle with anger, and I struggle with lust. I struggle with compartmentalizing. I put things in a box to not think about them sometimes. Just last week, when Tom's wife Marcy was here, I put that hard situation, the loss of their son, in a box. And then when I saw Marcy, I kind of blanked out. I didn't know how to respond to her. And my words just don't come out sometimes because I do that. And so that's kind of a... we learn in the, sixth and seventh step about character defects, if you're familiar with the 12 steps. And those are the things that I'm working on. So this morning, I thought I was kind of getting past a lot of my anger over the years. And I lashed out at my daughter big time. And I haven't seen her all day. And so tonight when I get home, I'm going to have to do an apology. And it was a big lashing out. I mean, she's only 8 years old. And there's no reason why I should have yelled and got uptight like I did. But things happen. We get stressed out. And that stuff's, for me, it's hard to contain. And so I love the fact that we have a place like this that we can come to. We can share what's going on with ourselves. Most of the time, it's the same thing that you all are sharing. So the things that I've got going on are some of the same things that you guys got going on. So that's why I love recovery. You know, we get a chance to do it better the next time. So like Tom said, I co-lead with him with our life recovery group. I have show and tell, right? So I've got a couple books that I brought with me. This is the Life Recovery Bible that we use in our class. I co-lead with that with Tom, and 24 weeks out of the year, I also teach a 12-step group, and we go through the Life Recovery Bible, or the Life Recovery Journey Workbook. And this is really meant to kind of go through a whole entire year, but we kind of speed through it. The steps take longer than 24 weeks, right? We keep doing them and doing them. So. But anyways, the reason I chose to kind of help with this group is because this book kind of points me to to this book, and I heard a lot about, I was raised Catholic. I had a Bible that I was given to me when I was in the second grade, and I don't think I ever read it. I heard a lot of stories. I went to church a lot, and but you know, this kind of pointed me back to this. So that's what kind of helps me through. You know, that's what kind of gets me, you know, back into the Word. The funny thing is, though, this is also a life recovery Bible. My wife gave me this on Father's Day of 2001. And I didn't even know about life recovery back then. And I think that's how God works through people, is that he kind of puts people in our lives and he kind of weaves his, you know, path towards you, you know, to lead him back to you. And that's what was happening. So let me get to how this all started. And I want to make sure that we're on time here. So I got about 15 minutes, I think. When I was a kid, I loved to play hard. And I've got two other brothers and a sister, and I would play football with my brothers. And for some reason, after school, we would go out and play football on the street. And I was the last one not wanting to go in at night. And I would get mad at him because he'd ready to go in and be done with the night. And I wasn't done playing. And I would throw the football at him and get angry. And that was kind of my nature. I just wanted to keep playing, and I didn't want it to stop. And so that was me as a kid. Where this kind of switched and changed is that when I was about in the sixth or seventh grade, we lived out in the country, and we had walked to school a little bit, not along to the bus stop. And I had my two other brothers and my sister. I'm in the sixth, seventh grade. My younger brother and my youngest sister, she's in the first grade. And we walk up. I'm looking at the T in the road where the bus is supposed to pick us up. And we have an Irish Setter that I got when I was before first grade. So I've had this dog for 6-7 years. Beautiful. Walked through the woods with me. Did all these things. I love my dog, Molly. And a car came and took Molly out. And she got hit 25 feet, she landed, you know, down the road. And we all saw this. And we all lost it. I mean, I didn't, that's I think where my anger kind of, I don't know, we just ran to the car, we're shouting obscenities at this guy, banging on the back of the trunk. And the dog is sitting there and still kind of trying to breathe, and blood's coming out from the, I mean, anyways. After that, I went into a depression, and I think for like 2, 3, 4 weeks. I mean, I've never felt like nothingness after that. It was like, you know, I lost my dog. I didn't know how to react to it. And then sometime after that, I don't know if it was, I couldn't, you know, as a kid, you don't know what's, you know, what the connections and how things worked out. But I started cutting my wrist for attention. And I would cut enough of it. I wouldn't get close, but, you know, I'd want to see the blood and I want to, you know, so that was a wake-up call, I guess, for my parents. And I started talking to a psychiatrist when I was like 6th, 7th grade. I think when I got there, I didn't really share much with him. I didn't really know how to talk to him about things. And, but that kind of started sort of, you know, the not understanding what the darkness is about, not knowing how to talk about my feelings. And soon after that, I saw my first Playboy. And that was that at that time. And I'll share more about that later. And then shortly after that, probably around the 7th or 8th grade, I got my first beer buzz. And that also switched in me, and I thought, you know what? That felt really good. And that's what I wanted to chase after that. I thought, that's, you know, that kind of does, you know, if I could feel like that all the time, I don't think I have to remember about the bad things that are going on in my life. So I'm gonna fast forward, and then in high school, you know, played football, varsity, all that stuff, had girlfriends, but then I locked in on one girlfriend in my senior year, and it got really serious. And then when I went away from to school in my freshman year in college, she broke up with me, and I had a psychotic break, and it was like I felt lost again, and I resorted back to cutting. And again, I went to see a psychiatrist, and he puts me on trazodone and some sleeping pills. And so that then started a cycle of using drugs and alcohol with pharmaceuticals. And so before I even went into treatment for drugs and alcohol, though, I was in treatment for about 30 days in a mental hospital. And I felt really, that was like, okay, whoa, I'm really like, you know, they lock the doors, they give you your pills, you sleep there at night, and they got a locked door behind you and all this other stuff. And it was really pretty scary. But I got out of that and, you know, went through the rest of situations and didn't really think that the drugs and alcohol were really kind of, you know, a symptom to something else. So through college, I sold ecstasy, which is MDMA, I think it's, people call it Molly's now, and did LSD and all a bunch of other hard drugs. And it was finally like in my second or third, and I went through three or four different schools because I didn't really